Every day there is a forgetting, and every moment there is the possibility of remembering. Remembering who you truly are, awakening to your body, to the inner world and experience of being alive. Here is where you find the beauty, the joy. Here is where you free your soma.
Welcome, everybody, to the Free Your Soma podcast. I have a powerful guest with me today, so I'm very excited to have her here, Cynthia Sophia. She is a priestess lightworker, and she's known for being able to convey mystical and esoteric knowledge into very practical, useful language that everyday people can understand. So I'm so excited to have you here. We've known each other for a long time and definitely seen each other evolving. And we know each other from Ashland, Oregon. And I know you were involved in the mystery school there. And then since then, you've, expanded and you've connected to more and more of this kind of community around the world. So welcome.
Thank you, Amy. It's a real joy to be here with you.
Wonderful. Yes. And we're kind of talking a little bit before we hit record about the different things that we want to bring in today. And there's a lot to it. So maybe first I'll just have you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a little bit about, maybe a little bit about your life, your background, what you do, kind of orient them to who you are and what you bring to the table.
Wonderful. Well, my name is Cynthia Sophia, and I'm currently residing in Baja, California, Mexico, which is an experience in itself. And I've lived my life, my adult life, in some conscious communities where I've been exposed to beautiful opportunities to sit with sacred plant medicines. And I've been on a path, as far as I can remember, back to my, coming into this life and being born, of remembering, awakening, really wanting to get to know who I am. So I've been on a very intentional path of self-awareness, self-knowledge, self-knowing, self-reflection. And in that, I've been opened, it's opened doors to beautiful ceremonial experiences, transformational experiences for myself, mystery schools of the awakening of the divine feminine and what that means. And it really has opened me to embrace the mystery in a kind of surrendered, present state of being in my life. And also, that all sounds serious, but it also has connected me with a playful innocence to reclaim that aspect of myself as well. Mm. If there's anything more you'd like to know, just let me know.
I think, it's funny because you touched on kind of the heaviness and the seriousness and, mystery that kind of has like a little bit of a heavy word to it, right? Like think about the mystery section at the bookstore,
right?
Versus this other side that you pointed to in this, in what you said about the wonder and kind of the innocence of not knowing, which is the other side of that coin of mystery, right? Like we have
Absolutely.
That like, oh no, what's going to happen? We don't know. And then there's also like, hey, we don't know. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that exciting? Isn't that
fun? Yeah, it doesn't work very well unless you can laugh at yourself and laugh at the whole, cosmic play.
Beautiful. Yeah. And you touched on some things there that I thought were quite fascinating because, some of our listeners may already be kind of tuned in to some of this language about the rising feminine energy, that's happening globally. And there's a lot of different takes on that I've heard. And so I really would love for you to extrapolate on that a little bit more. What is the divine feminine? What does that mean when you say the divine feminine rising?
For me, and in this moment, because it kind of shifts and changes, it's about a reclaiming through remembering who we have been as women throughout lifetimes and in a human body and, being givers of life, being the channel, the sacred channel for life, new life to emerge. So For me, that is about discovering the encoding, the natural organic encoding that we as women carry that has been lost or dormant as a more linear kind of society and thinking and distraction and focus has, you know, overtaken for a long time. And I feel very blessed to know many women that are on a quote unquote priestess path or a path of awakening and discovery, and allowing that emergence to inform our everyday lives and as in our own sovereign everyday lives, and also as a collective where we do work together as women. It's really about bringing this, the preciousness of the sacredness of this human existence in relationship with our Mother Earth, you know, back together. You know, bringing the sacred back, I would say. That is really an essence for me that is extremely important to realize the preciousness of life and not be so focused with the linear systems that we've been sort of swept into.
Right. Systems like kind of hierarchical ways of thinking, black and white thinking, right and wrong, good and bad. These ways that we differentiate and separate and analyze, right? And it's interesting because the way that my immediate conceptualization of it is probably quite like yang, or, you know, I can kind of see my conditioning come up because I immediately think of the two sides of our brain, right? And how when we're talking about like dominance of a masculine energy, maybe that's dominance of the right hemisphere of the brain that's all about analysis and has this fixed identity and has like all of this stuff about linear, you know, having to order everything in this linear fashion, versus the left, it's the other way around, isn't it? It's the left hemisphere. I said right. So the right hemisphere does that more kind of feminine, like allowing, like the left hemisphere, like might not even, the right hemisphere might not even know that time exists. Everything is now, right? And so when we're talking about like energetically the world having been dominated by kind of a yang or masculine energy for a long time, it's the rising feminine isn't about overtaking. That's how you might see it from that masculine perspective, but it's actually more about rebalancing the hemispheres, or rebalancing the order of things, right? Is that kind of where I'm getting at here?
Yeah, that would be really beautifully described, actually. You know, the left brain, more masculine dominant, could be considered like a structure. Mm. And structure is really important. Like, we had structure to be on the Zoom call at the same time. So structure is extremely important for allowing then our conversation and our energy shared today to flow. So the masculine and the feminine work in harmony then. And, but, you know, so many, we probably know a lot of women, let's just say single mothers, who are working maybe several jobs and being a mother, that move, it's almost like she's like pulled into her masculine in order to make this work on her own. Mm-hmm. And so when a woman or a man gets off center and more dominant in one area, it can burn out the other aspect of them. So a woman that having to run her masculine energy in order to like power through these patriarchal systems, goal-oriented, financially oriented, you know, linear oriented kind of timeline, she exhausts herself. Mm-hmm. So for me, the aspect of the feminine awakening is for a greater remembering to happen within people, and, you know, for those that it is occurring for, then there's a massive nourishing that's taking place within. The soul's no longer exhausted when you start coming into this kind of balance, and you might also change your life quite a bit. So, you know, both you and I have changed our lives quite a bit. I love that you speak of that and share that with your audience. And you start shifting one's life, your life, into nourishing you and being aligned with who you truly are, and create your own business, you know, create your own niche in the world rather than funnel yourself into those that have been created. And I'm not saying that those that have already been created for us to step into, that there's anything wrong with them, unless it is bringing you completely out of balance. So.
Right. And there would be have to be some kind of more systemic shift for those systems, those, you know, hospitals or universities, for them to function in a more aligned way to their employees, right? Like, for example, for them to be more honoring and accepting of people's need for time off and space and, you know, pay them a living wage, like all these structural things that we hear people talking about would have to shift substantially for people maybe to not get burned out or to not get their energy kind of sucked dry by funneling their life force into working for someone else, right?
Yes, and also within a system like what you're describing, to bring more of a camaraderie, a mission, a team where people are working in cohesion with a mission rather than against each other. Or, you know, when there's competition in those old systems, there's not competition in a remembered essence, because everyone brings their unique gift to it. And and that's so refreshing.
Absolutely. Wow. So, you know, what I really enjoy about looking at these core kind of energies, you know, if we can break them, you know, into dualism, when really maybe there's more outside than just, you know, those energies, but also the combination of those energies and how they combine. But when we break it down and make it kind of like simple like this, I feel like our brains are able to understand it better, and we're able to kind of relate it to the other things that are happening around us, right? When we kind of make it really simple like this. So I would love to know more about what you practice or what you do to get more in touch with your divine feminine energy. Like, if you would share with us a little bit of like the kind of how-tos for people who are new to this, like, what does that mean in practice? You know, what does that mean in community?
That's a beautiful question. And the first thing that comes to mind is this commitment that a priestess takes to abiding in empty presence. So, you know, we're often in our heads, and it can be very easy to get in our heads, and our minds are very essential tools. But in like in the work that you do, where you're bringing people into a somatic experience, if we're always in our heads, then our body's not being able to be engaged. We have neurons in our heart. We have neurons in our gut. That's all essential for helping us discern and understand and awaken. So the practice of empty presence, which is about considering the womb as like this sacred vessel, the sacred space. And so what I would do is sit in silence and not necessarily like try to meditate, but to imagine myself just emptying out completely, so that I'm like a divining, a place where a divining can take place within me, within my womb space, and just witness what arises, kind of like it's already there. It's already like it's like a springs, a natural occurring, beautiful spring within that is always alive, especially when you tap into that place. And just simply empty out so that there's not the mind in the way. So let's just say I'm going to be working one-on-one with a client, and they're coming with a presenting issue. Instead of me responding to their presenting issue, I'll listen, but I'm listening from a place of empty presence, not from a place, well, I know what I can do to help them. Like I let go of like, I know anything, and I'm allowing to arise within me the next piece, the next step, the next you know, response or reflection for that person. And then that opens up a flow that is beyond the mind, but the mind is witnessing and the mind is supporting, and to help that person ground. So if I'm sitting in front of a person in my empty presence, then they can't help but also realize that, oh, you know, that they're like overflowing with thoughts and beliefs and, you know, their experiences. So they just naturally kind of empty themselves. And then what allows to come, and I'm just using this as an example, but what allows to come then is a more essential piece that maybe wasn't even the presenting issue in the first place to emerge.
Wow. So, I mean, that sounds like a really beautiful process to be able to hold. I mean, that really is that word we hear all the time in these circles, the healing circles of holding space, but you're creating that space literally within yourself by that emptying out process to be able to hold the other person in their, you know, in their letting go of all the stuff that's in the way of that essence. And, you know, what you were describing, it sounds like a really powerful way to get in touch with your intuition on a body level, because I think that's actually where our intuition lives. Sometimes we get focused because of, you know, maybe people talking about our third eye space, or, you know, we get very cerebral. And so when we start off in, you know, a spiritual path, we can tend to get stuck here in this kind of cerebral space. But in dropping down into our bodies, and like you said, connecting with the intelligence of our organs, the intelligence of our tissues, that's where we can start actually making that essence kind of come together, and we can feel that intuition on a physical level, not just, you know, hear a little voice in our head, right?
Yes, and I'll even add to that, and I don't know how this relates to the work that you do, but we also are programmed to think, oh, there's a body sensation, it's nausea. And I say, let go of that, it's even nausea, just feel it. And just going into the sensations and feeling them without labeling them, and see how they inform you in a new way. So I don't know if that is anything.
Yeah, I mean, I will often ask people kind of open-ended questions, you know, especially if I'm working, you know, my preference at this point is to work with people long form, because building somatic awareness, building the neural connections in your body takes time. You know, it doesn't happen, you know, in just like a week or, you know, two sessions or even five sessions. It can take longer amount of time depending on the person and their experience with it. But when we start to make those connections, there are lots of preconceived notions about what we're experiencing and what it means. Like you said, labeling things as, oh, I'm feeling afraid. Oh, I'm feeling this. Oh, I'm feeling that. And then creating, you know, we have the sensation, we have the feeling, and then our mind tries to come up with a story.
Right? Exactly.
And that can sometimes be interesting or useful, but what I found is actually, I guess, usually more effective for the person in moving through an experience is not coming into the story, but just staying in touch with the physical experience, right? And noticing, as you were saying, like noticing what's arising and then how it's not exactly staying the same. It's shifting, it's changing, it's moving. It was this feeling and now it's this feeling and then it was that feeling. And it's not static, because when we start thinking about it too much and labeling it, then we get stuck in kind of this static, this is how it is, you know? And then that's not really allowing us to move through it, is it? It's kind of keeping us in this framework.
Movement is so essential, because we do have a tendency to get stuck. Since we are on a linear, we are like kind of conditioned towards the linear, we can get stuck in our energy, gets stuck in our beliefs. And I love what you're saying. It is about keeping it moving.
Beautiful.
Our bodies love it so much when we listen to them.
Yes.
When we listen to our organs.
When we are paying attention and we're sensing inward, it's very comforting.
Exactly.
Right. And sometimes I think, you know, and we could certainly talk about this. I had a guest recently where we kind of talked about this on a neurophysiological level. Like, we're looking sometimes for feedback from the outside. We're searching for external stimulation of some kind, you know, whether that's validation from others, whether that's, you know, literal physical contact of some kind. I think even people, you know, aren't always looking for it in the positive ways. Maybe they get into a physical altercation or, you know, something. They're looking for feedback from the outside so that they know they exist, so that they know that they are, you know? And so when we start giving that to ourselves, by building that awareness internally, it's so comforting because that's ultimately like what we've been looking for, right? Is that level of comfort from within that we're searching for out there, right?
Yes, or even to confirm our belief systems, even if those belief systems aren't so comfortable.
Right. Wow. I mean, the going back to this idea of the divine feminine and the rising of this more yin energy in the world, how would you say that relates to this term wholeness or a complete person or like someone who's self-actualized, like these different kinds of terms? When we start engaging with our feminine energy, what can kind of come together in a human being?
That's a beautiful question. I believe that the wholeness already exists and that we live often in a way where we feel fragmented all over the place. You know, it can happen just easily if you have a busy day. And so to remember who you are at your essence and to be able to drop back into that place when you feel overwhelmed or feel like you're forgetting who you really are, you know, will immediately drop you back into that wholeness. So so for me, my understanding is that we are whole and complete on some level already, and to remember that and come back into that. And so when we are in that place, just naturally occurring, things that are no longer needed just drop away, you know, the importance that we may have placed on a certain thing, you realize and you see through that it's not as important as you thought it was. And so when you start shedding the energy of some of the denser, you know, doingness of life, and you come to the essential self, and there's just a natural occurring peace from that place, because really it's way more simple than we ever make it to be. And when we return to that simplicity within and just abiding within, it feels good. It feels like we're home.
Beautiful.
And when most people just take 5 minutes to just sit and just focus on their breath, even if they're not people that do that very regularly, or they almost always really love it. And we forget we can do that. And it's almost like we need to be provided that context or give permission that we can stop being so darn busy and goal oriented and just be present. So presence to me is like everything's encoded in presence. So if when one is in full presence, there's nothing in the way. There's no programs running. There's just the ability to allow life to kind of flow through and keep flowing and offering some information or informing the next moment. And not everyone is comfortable sitting with someone that's fully present, because then they think that you're seeing into something that they don't want you to see in them. Mm-hmm. But it's actually just emptiness. So there's no judgment. There's no, you know, it's just a presence. And I don't know if I've answered your question.
Yeah, well, you did. This idea of wholeness and completeness, because I feel like even for myself, for a long time, when people are on a healing path, they feel like they're broken. They feel like something's wrong and they have to try to fix something. And that in and of itself can keep them kind of stuck. And what you're speaking to is actually this remembering. It's like forgetting that you actually are complete, you know, and that you always were. There was just things in the way of you experiencing that. And when we start to unravel and move the things out of the way, we can then experience that wholeness, that completeness that you're speaking of. And we're really allowed to be in the present moment with ourselves, not stuck in whatever happened in the past or expecting something from the future based on the past, but in the middle where life is actually happening. So, you know, what I loved about what you shared a moment ago was that you broke it down to a simple everyday thing that people can relate to. Because sometimes when we're talking about these grand subjects, people automatically think like, oh, she's talking about trauma or some kind of extreme experience. And you said just the stress of a day that we can get, we can forget, we can get pulled out of our presence simply by a stressful day where we've been really busy, we've been running around, we've been doing things, and to be able to come back into ourselves fully, even after a busy day, is part of this work that you're talking about. It's not just, you know, like obviously this applies to things like trauma recovery and, you know, reconnecting with the earth and these kind of like bigger concepts, but it also relates to just how we experience our bodies at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not, you know, people do have traumatic experiences. So, and it is important to acknowledge that, you know, people have lived through some challenges. And when we're looking at it always with the mind, we're bypassing actually an aspect of like just being with our feelings. And so if we're in a busy day and stuff hasn't been healed or is still percolating inside, and we keep having busy days and we're not really focusing on taking care of what is wanting to be felt inside, you know, and just sitting with that with a very non-judgmental, just presence and not labeling it, but just seeing where it takes us. Mm. And it can be a beautiful practice. And in that, I like to also, you know, if an adult has something that is relating to their childhood, that is an unhealed aspect of themselves, it still stands outside of their wholeness, that the past, the present, and the future all exist in this now moment, this pure presence, and that little child self can receive healing in the moment. Mm. and start to be integrated into that adult. So there's, you know, time is interesting because you can actually go back and make shifts and changes with a child self from a long time ago. And, yes. And that little child self can have a new understanding. Like one thing I love to do is have a person who's just an amazing being, but they have a wounded child still inside, inform that child who they're going to become. Like for myself, for instance, I would never have thought as a child that I could be in this space right now. So when I tell my little girl self, and I have in the past, that you're going to grow up to be this amazing person on this priestess path, and you're going to have this experience of having essence and purpose and a mission and learn all these amazing tools, that, you know, my little girl self would never have ever thought that that's possible. So it empowers the child self, and it's all about being in pure presence.
Mm, that's so beautiful. And I've had kind of the inverse experience, which is a little strange. I don't know if I've ever really talked about this to very many people, but when I was in my 20s, and I've had this a few other times in the last 3 years and, you know, in my 30s, but in my 20s, I had this experience where I was having a really difficult time. I believe I was going through a breakup, and there were a lot of things that had been going on in my world that just seemed to be kind of disintegrating around me. And I felt very, you know, freaked out, overwhelmed, distraught by this. And I had this feeling like I was in communication with a much older version of myself, like I had jumped into some kind of timeline where there was like a 60-year-old version of me that was reaching out and comforting me, like a grandmother me, and was telling me like, don't fret. Like I feel you in this moment, but there's a lot of wonderful things that are going to come. And it was a really lovely experience. Because I think, you know, and everybody has a different way of conceptualizing these things. Like maybe to someone else, it might have been an angel coming in, right? Or they might have, you know, had a different image. But to me, it was this older version of myself, the wise woman version, coming in to let 26-year-old me know that, you know, this end of this relationship, the end of these things that were around me, it was not the end of the world. It was part of a bigger process. And so what you're talking about with, you know, this inner child work, which I'm sure, you know, a number of our listeners can relate to, have done that kind of work, maybe with a comforting a younger version of themselves. I experienced that like the opposite way around, where I was in the present moment, like the younger version of myself. But yeah, it was a really lovely experience. And I do feel like we have that capacity when we break out of the linear way of thinking about time. We have that capacity to kind of travel and time travel really into future and past selves while we're also connected to our real time present moment experience, which is part of what you're talking about. Yeah.
Absolutely. That, what a blessing that you had that experience and that carried you forward. And I do work with the elder self, depending on how old my client might be, I'll have them connect with their older version of themselves and receive a pearl of wisdom from that aspect of themselves. And they always come back with a pearl of wisdom. It's always there. So that's beautiful, Amy.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you for kind of that story just sort of came out from the things that you were talking about. And now I get to re-experience it. It's very
beautiful.
Lovely. From that empty space that you held in your presence, something arose. There you go.
And that's exactly an example of that. Yeah.
So I would love to chat a little bit more about what it means to reclaim ourselves from different kinds of like programming, because there's so much of it out there and it's kind of like invisible. Our programming in our bodies especially can be really invisible to us until there's some kind of catastrophe or our bodies are screaming at us. Like one way that I work with it with the muscular system of the body is that every day we're doing things with our body, we're experiencing even just say the stress of driving in a car, you know, and say there's a storm and you're driving through the fog and the storm, like your body's going to tighten up, right? And you may not even notice when you get home that your body's holding on to some of that conditioning from sitting in the car. And then you go about something else and then you, I don't know, watch the news and you tighten up again because something horrible happened, you know, and on the news, right? And then maybe thinking about something that someone said to you and your body's again tightening up because you're getting annoyed with this person that you have to, you know, talk to tomorrow. And we don't notice until we go to lay down in our bed and we feel, oh wow, my neck is really tight, my back is really tight. But we don't see how everything leading up to that moment when we laid down created that tension in our bodies, right? And this is just like a micro version of what I'm talking about. But I know this is also happening on an energetic level. I mean, everything is energy. So if it's showing up in our muscular system like this, it's also showing up in our energy field and in the way that we carry ourselves in the world. And maybe you can say a little bit about that, like how do this conditioning, how does it show up energetically, and how, in what ways it does it be like, is it invisible to us? And in what ways can we start to remember or be aware of it?
It's such an opportunity to see what wants to come through me at this moment about that is that, well, we all have an essence that some of us realize that we are an essence. We're a unique spark of life. We have a unique signature, unique gifts that our contribution to the world, but we get swept into a world of distraction, linear thinking that we have touched on. And I'm gonna use the example of like, so many people get caught in what we see on, I'm gonna say on the computer nowadays, you know, TikTok and things like that, where everybody's wanting to do the same dance, listen to the same song, doing the same thing, you know, and kind of going down the stream of the wanting to be like each other, like, and it's taking away from our individuality in a way, caught in distraction. And so it's essential to remember that we are not those things, that we are of something much larger, like we are infinite beings. We are multidimensional. You know, when we start coming into our remembering, we realize we're multidimensional, that we have a starseed background, that we are, that is awakening within us. So if you're having the experience of tensing up due to the circumstances of a day or a week or trauma in the world or what's going on, it's really good to remember that's not who we are, that our bodies are really sacred and they're coded with information. And so if we're going to bed tense or with anxiety, then we get lost as to who we are. And when we remember, and it's like we get lost about who we are, and then we remember again, it's like, oh, it feels so good to remember that we are not all that, you know, that we claim that we're connected to the earth, that we're of something more meaningful and deeper and more rhythmic and more alive and more vital. You know, we are moved then when we see beautiful water flowing or sit next to crackling fire or feel the wind just kind of like clear that energy out from around us and be present and grounded to the earth and remember that the elements are as essential to our everyday nourishment, you know, as going out and getting food at a restaurant. It's remembering who we are in connection to this earth that we're living on. And let's see what else wants to come here. So we tend to, you know, just watch the storm take place outside within our cozy home. But just to go out and stand in the storm and just allow it to clear us energetically, we have learned to kind of like, we've been conditioned to kind of like step outside of the experience and watch it instead of become part of the experience. And so we forget until we are next to a body of water or around a crackling fire that we can become mesmerized by the dancing flames. And that just that in itself will bring us back to an ancient memory. We might not have the intellectual aha of the ancient memory, but it's the body remembers and it brings us to a wonderful place. So it is a practice to not get caught in the external environment so much so that you lose yourself completely to the point where you have to like have some traumatic experience to help you remember, but to start remembering and making practices to remember who we are every day and come back to that place before you get out of bed in the morning. You know, you might have a busy day and that busy day is, there's nothing wrong with having a busy day. Sometimes that happens, but to presence oneself before that busy day begins and then to presence oneself again before you go to sleep at night. And gratitude practices are like the best way to do that because we have so much to be grateful for. It's an essential piece to start bringing into our lives, especially at this time, because we're living at a time of rapid change. And there's advents of new, like different things now percolating, like artificial intelligence. Like, how are we going to deal with that? Like, it's always essential to come back to the authentic, most raw, sweet, precious, alive, sacred aspects of who we are. And if we forget that, then we will be anxious and tight, and we will hyper-identify with aspects of things that people tell us, you know, and our minds get looping around certain things and our emotions get all stirred up. And It's really essential to come back to this beautiful, raw, precious, sacred, still point, and know that that's who we are. And allow the other energies, which are denser by comparison, to slough away. And then we slowly over time, we start changing our lives and making choices of not getting involved in certain things or not watching certain things or having clearer boundaries for ourselves. Or, I mean, it might even be so much as to like release some family members from our everyday experience if they cause disharmony ongoingly inside of you. So it's not about necessarily always walking around in a peaceful state, because we ebb and flow. We're all kinds of things. We're all kinds of archetypes of energies moving through us at all times. But if we can remember that we are this raw, alive, sweet, precious, sacred, you know, flame, or like that springs, you know, whatever element that feels good and nourishing to one's soul, to remember that that's who we are and we're of the earth, that will bring us into a beautiful place. And, you know, we can always take it more deeply into being part of a mystery school or being part of a collective that is intentionally moving into deeper cycles of awakening within our own bodies, through our bodies.
Through our bodies, yeah, with them, yeah, immersed in them, that kind of ocean of consciousness and of memory, collective memory and ancestral memory that our bodies hold. Something that you were speaking of earlier was about the way that like our genetic information is holding so much wisdom for us from our ancestors, and also from having spent, you know, time on this earth as human beings and beyond. And so when you're talking about remembering that center point, that point of who we are, that we can come back to through different practices, you know, some of which you've mentioned. And, you know, when you were speaking about something to do in the night and the day, I was kind of smiling because I've been doing my somatic practice twice a day recently. Generally speaking, that, you know, for the last year, I would usually just do it once a day, which I considered like maintenance. But recently there's been a shift going on in me internally where I'm like, oh, I really need to do this twice a day for now, for a while, because there's a shift that's happening and I want to be as connected with myself as I can during like this period of growth. Like I feel like I'm going through a growth spurt or something. And so, you know, the practices that you mentioned, even just about gratitude, you know, thinking over the course of your day, you know, the things that you're grateful for, that you experienced, you know, the people in your life maybe who support you, or, you know, even just enjoying having like a cozy place to sleep, like all of these things that we can be grateful for. There's so many different ways that we can go about practicing these things and bringing them in, like, you know, at that beginning and end of our day, kind of bookending things allows us to create kind of, I would say, like an inner journey during that time when we're unconscious, when we're sleeping, right? Because we have the end of the day and then we sleep and then we have the beginning of the day. And so there's this empty, supposedly empty space where we're sleeping. How yin is that, where we're just, you know, lying there still breathing and our body's going through all of its healing and regenerating processes. And, you know, to bring something in right before you go to sleep and right when you wake up, it's like planting a seed and then allowing the sprout to come up and see the sun, right? It's like actually creating something in our unconscious that is going to start shifting, as you said, the way that we're living our lives over time. So these practices, you know, the one I do and the one that you spoke of, there's something that you do every day, just a little bit. It's not like you have to go be on a mountain for 10 days and have some intense experience. Like, yes, you could do that. And it may very much bring you back into that essence and that realizing of who you are. But these are things that can be brought into your daily experience that will do something, in my opinion, more powerful over time than just like one peak experience.
Beautiful, beautifully said. Yes. I will say that I can't imagine going to sleep at night stressed out. Even if something major is going on in my life, I surrender it because I can't control it. So I surrender it to the highest good. And if I'm having a challenge with a particular person in my life, I can't imagine going to sleep at night with anything but love for that person in my heart. Now, it might not be that I'm in agreement with that person, and there might be odd energy between us, and maybe that person's not going to be so much in my life anymore, but I cannot go to bed at night. I cannot imagine falling asleep and not feeling love for that person. Mm-hmm. And so in that practice, and that's, I often put myself to sleep at night by just sending love to random humans who want to pop into my awareness. It could be people I don't even know that I saw in my day. It just immediately sheds the dense layers and brings one to the essential truth.
Mm. Yeah, that's so awesome. I mean, that really speaks a lot to where you are in terms of this practice that we're speaking of, that we're talking about. Like, you have done a lot of growth and developing, and you're really, you know, you really are like a clear vessel for this happening to take place, for this emptiness that you keep speaking of, being able to, you know, let something go before you go to sleep. You know, some people might know what you're talking about. There's probably a lot of people who like don't really know how that feels to really be able to let everything go before they go to sleep. And it's funny because, you know, to be completely honest, I can imagine that, because last year my husband and I were fighting a lot, and I would go to sleep angry at him sometimes. And it was terrible because in the morning I would wake up angry. It was like no time had passed. If sometimes it was like I was more angry when I woke up, and it was a terrible experience for him and for me, because, you know, I didn't really have any control over what was happening, especially while I'm sleeping. I think about how little control you have over your environment when you're unconscious, right? But there was like, I was still running this program, this pattern of anger and resentment throughout the night that then I had to wake up into. And so, you know, I'm glad to say that we're past that point in our process where we needed to go through that experience and release a lot of like really stuck, constricted, dark kind of energy that was in our relationship. Like we've done so much to come through that, you know, and we're in a much different place now. But yeah, I totally, like when you're saying that you can let something go and that there can be this release and this surrender before you go to sleep, and that you can wake up with that kind of surrender, like that just sounds so juicy and delicious and wonderful to me, especially having come from that, you know, very polar experience of going to bed in this state of frustration and waking up that way. So I just want to acknowledge you for being at the space that you are, where this is an example of the incredible space that you hold for people, because you're holding it for yourself. You're creating that space for yourself on a daily basis. And that's so inspiring.
Thank you. And I love what you just shared. And to that, I'll add, like when you're in an angry space, you know, you're working on stuff. Like, it's good not to make that wrong. You guys came through that because you were able to go through those pieces, you know, to look at your energy field when you're in that, because, and as you know, in the somatic work that you do, people contract themselves or expand themselves. And so it's hard to be, you know, if you're in a relationship with another person and there's challenges between you, it's natural to think about collapsing our energy field. To like stop talking to that person, even though you're in the same room, you know, like to come more insular. But for me, it's like, if you can still keep your energy field expanded, and in that energy field, you still have the capacity to love and understand that some of the stuff is the mind needing to work on things. Okay, that's the mind. That's not who I am completely. That's a tool. You know, like that sounds like overly logical in a way, but I'm inviting listeners to explore their energy field and see how expanded their energy field is, rather than contract oneself. Because contraction doesn't necessarily feel good, especially if you're contracted for very long. If you're expanded, you're expanded with your own field of essence and your own love for yourself, your healthy body, your choices, the opportunities you have in life. You know, if you have pets or children, or, you know, there's so much to love. There's so much to be present to in our expanded energy field.
Yeah.
When we're contracted down, we contract ourselves out to not be able to remember those things.
We can't feel them. It's like they suddenly are invisible. I could
exactly
see the cat coming towards me, and it's like, what's that, right?
Yeah.
But when my energy field is open and expanded and I see my kitty coming, it's like, oh, suddenly I feel this connection to her. I feel this, you know, love that arises naturally in me when I have that space around me that I've created to allow for the experience of being alive, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful. So getting back to just a little bit on the path of the goddess. So this sounds so mystical and fascinating, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners have maybe heard about this, or maybe they're on a path like this. But when we're talking about the path of the goddess, there are all these different archetypes and all these different like deities or feminine energies that are in this framework, right? Like for talking in terms of the history of the world, but also in terms of like energetically, these different energies that we can tap into. And they're quite different. Like some of them, you know, might be kind of confronting or even scary, like say Kali, right? This energy of the Indian goddess of destruction, Kali, versus some energy that might feel more softer and graceful and benevolent. When we're talking about connecting to our divine feminine embodiment, how would you say that we can start to notice or differentiate between like the spectrum of these different feminine energies, right? Because there's not just one way that divine feminine energy shows up. What would you have to say about that?
Well, another good topic. So thank you for bringing this forth. Well, archetypal energies are like energetic containers. So, you know, if we are going to just going to Kali, like you brought her up, you know, she's like creator, destroyer energy. There's an opportunity, or she's relevant, or, you know, she's relevant towards something that's needed in the moment. And so to call upon that energy, you don't have to call upon Kali necessarily, because we actually have these energies moving through us all the time. So there's an energy, the Lady of Communion. This is coming from the 13 Moon Mystery School, which is 13 archetypal faces of the goddess. And the Lady of Communion, she's like, she's comfortable in nature. The animals love her. She's connecting to the earth. And so we have moments where we are Lady of Communion just naturally, you know, where there's the muse. I'm going to use the archetypes of the 13 Mystery School. There's the muse. She's the one that, she's an artist. She loves to play. She might have a wonderful wise woman sister who is, she's the muse archetype, and she's like, she'll run around like she's a unicorn, and she dresses in all kinds of bright colors, and she's here to remind us to play and to bring like the mythic back into our lives, and to not take the mundane world so darn seriously all the time. So there is, you know, she's relevant because we need her, you know, and all these aspects of the archetypes are relevant when they're allowed to express through us, and not held back and understood. And there is the archetype of the initiator. Actually, that's one of my primary archetypes, is she carries the sword of truth, you know, and if somebody's carrying the sword of truth, you can imagine that, and everything has its shadow as well. So like, am I going to walk with my sword of truth and be in my shadow self? No, I'm going to be in my light self, or have my shadow integrated so that I'm even more powerful. So the initiator archetype with her sword of truth, she clarifies, she aligns, and she challenges, but she's not doing it to like manipulate other people. She's not doing it to like hold power over someone else, but just to bring, move the energy and allow the truth to come to light. And it all culminates into the final 13th archetype, which is all about alchemy. And alchemy is like all of the archetypes working within you and being able to alchemize everything through love, really, to understanding and love and transmuting dense energies into more refined energies through our ability to alchemize anything right. that's around us.
To connect and see the wholeness of it.
Yes.
So yeah, it's interesting because you mentioned these different 13, well, not all of them, but the 13 archetypes, and they're these like different versions of like ourselves that show up in the moment at different times. And so, you know, when we talk about like the path of the goddess, it's not like a literal, like, you know, imagining that there's some goddess up in the sky or over that hill somewhere, you know, like we sometimes externalize religion or deities, right? And this is a very common thing for humans to do. But what you're talking about is more like an internal living experience of those energies within you, and that using this framework of the deity, of the god, of the goddess, is very helpful in allowing us to connect with those parts of ourselves. And then this piece about alchemizing things, about bringing everything together, is that we may have a part of us that is Kali, that is the destroyer of something that needs to be taken down, that, you know, a way of thinking or a way of living that is no longer really in alignment with who we are, right? We also may have another part of us that is very playful and very innocent and very curious, and that these pieces of our experience of ourselves are not separate. We're not changing personalities. When we can start to get more integrated, we actually can flow between and in all of them as necessary for our environment or for our lives.
That's absolutely true. They're energetic signatures, and they're flowing in through us at all times. So from one moment to the next, I can go into different archetypes. You know, you can go into the Divine Mother archetype. You know, you as a mother naturally go into the Divine Mother archetype, and then you as an entrepreneur might take on another completely different archetype, but they can flow through our lives at any given moment. And so when we recognize them, then it's like, it's a wonderful feeling of wholeness. It's part of like the puzzle pieces coming together of who we are as human beings, as mystical, mythical, what's the word I want? We're so much more than we allow ourselves or know ourselves to be within the kind of limited profile that society has given us. And we're all of it. We're all of it. You know, we're part of a holographic universe, and we're opening to greater galaxies within ourselves. It's all happening within us. And I just want to touch on like the different archetypes then have signatures of historical goddesses that we've known through time, you know, like the Lady of Communion, who's very comfortable in the natural world, and she comes into coherence by being in nature. Then she's related to the Greek goddesses, Diana and Artemis, and different, you know, energies that have walked the planet, or, you know, mythical goddesses that we have known throughout time too, that have a particular signature. So women will, or and men will start identifying more with certain archetypal energies, but I also presence not to get stuck there, not to become hyper identified with something, not to have it become part of your limited ego, because you're all of it. And it all needs to dance through you and keep moving. And it's all informing you. If you're a witness to your choices and your expression and your thoughts and your body sensations, then you're witnessing the whole thing. You're allowing it to move through you and not to get stuck in any one place. You might revisit to learn something, but not over-identify with it so that you get stuck in any one place. And so even in the awakening of the divine feminine, there is the polarity or the shadow aspects around that, where someone might get hyper identified as one thing and then become like this, personified aspect of it. And that's okay too. It's important not to make anything wrong, but it's essential to know that we're all of it and it's all moving through us. Yeah. And that it's awakening our DNA. It's allowing us to understand our lineage line, our heritage, our blood line. And the whole generational piece is a big part of my life as well. So, it's like allowing my ancestors to dance through me and help me awaken my DNA and realize that who I am and what I'm being, what I'm doing on a daily basis is a result of their having gone through so much in their lives, and that they have their love for me is amazing, and I can feel it all the time. And to touch into our generational wealth in that way and allow the gifts that are there meant for us, the creative aspects, the intellectual aspects, the incredible gifts that they honed and were really good at, that's all there for us. And just to keep it moving and flowing and keep developing it and witnessing it and holding it sacredly and making it, be a gift to the world through you.
Yes. I mean, you're speaking of because there's been a lot of talking within kind of my worlds about healing generational trauma, and working through our generational karma, but you're talking about the next level of it, which is what are all the gifts of those foils and troubles and experiences, and I've done some work where I'm connecting with my ancestors. And as I'm connecting with my ancestors, there's this real awareness in me that I am connecting with their celestial bodies, because they are no longer in flesh form on this earth. The only way they are is through their descendants, me. But their wisdom is still there. It's in my body and it's in the cosmos. It's integrated back into everything that is, the grass or the, the air, depending on whether they were buried or cremated or whatnot, right? And so it's there, it's available, and I can start connecting with that wisdom and drawing it in and experiencing it. And so it's kind of this, it's going both ways. It's coming in and it's coming out. And there's a flow that we can start connecting with. I think you know what I'm talking about when we're connecting with the lineage and the timeline of not just ourselves, but of all of the people that came before us. And there's a little piece on here that I'd love to talk on for a moment, which is that we sometimes feel very identified in our experience and our feelings, which is something you kind of, pointed to with, say, some person who's overly identified with a specific goddess or something. It's not too dissimilar from being overly identified in one state of mind or one way of being, right? And the thing is that we are having that experience, but it's not necessarily who we are. And in fact, and this is something I've been experiencing more and more recently, and maybe some of our listeners can relate, when you get really angry about something, when you get very upset, sometimes it's not just really your upset about this specific thing. It's like you're angry on behalf of all women from all time. You're upset on behalf of everybody who's ever had something like this happen to them, right? And so mm-hmm. there's, for me to realize that the, you know, the bigness of my anger, the bigness of my feelings sometimes is that it's actually not just me. It's an experience that is happening with many, many others. And I'm kind of tapping into that collective, you know, feeling that's going on. And so that's probably, you know, maybe something that feels really great to someone who's tapping into that very specific, like, goddess energy, is it's like a supercharge because they can start to feel it on a collective level. But that's not all there is. And that's certainly not all that we are, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we're connected. And that's, you know, the more you remember, the more you realize that how connected that we are, you know, and we all bring a different gift to this feeling. So if you're tapping into something that is really potent in the collective field, where, say, you know, women's rights are being taken away from them, you know, and if you're present to that and you can relate it to yourself, you know, the fire that you feel around that is for all women, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. It's like our connection to each other and the strength that we have in that connection. And so in anger, you know, feeling angry, that's like a healthy, healthy feeling, you know, not to push that away, but to feel it and let rage move through our bodies. That's incredibly purifying, to let all these feelings move through our bodies and see how it informs us, because it, if we're able to contribute and take action in our way, you know, that those feelings are going to inform us of like how we want to take action, whether it be within ourselves or out in the external world, in like a, in connection with other women or other humans towards a particular thing. So, you know, it gives us our voice, it activates all our chakras, it it awakens us up on some level, because we can easily slip into complacency if we're living a pretty chill life, you know, and but stuff is going on in the world. And it's essential to know like where our voice, where our action, where our intellect, our knowledge, our experience can contribute to the greater whole. It's very potent.
I've experienced anger being an incredible catalyst for change in my life at different times.
Absolutely. All of these feelings, you know, where it feels like you're like a phoenix, you're a phoenix rising, because you've like allowed the old aspects of yourself to completely be dismantled and annihilated. You know, it's not easy to go through that, but that's one of the aspects of kind of walking a priestess path, is you know that life is an ongoing initiation. And how are you going to rise to that occasion? You can't if you're burdened. You cannot rise to that occasion if you're not allowing all of life to always move through you and inform you. So, you know, looking at life as a continual initiation and allowing yourself to go through any annihilation that you need to allow the false self, the false layers, and the old programming and those kinds of things to finally burn away. You know, like in in an alchemical process where you come into a distillation then, and you're the phoenix that rises, and you know, you're ready to be of service in that.
To actually have capacity to take on life as it comes, like that process when you know, for people who aren't seeing us on film, when we're talking about this flow of life, we both keep moving like our bodies a little bit, like this kind of in and out process. Yes. But when we get stuck in our feelings, or we get stuck in our bodies somewhere, when we're burdened by every experience that we've ever had and we're holding on to it, there's this weight, you know, that we feel like we're carrying around. And that's, you know, to be frank, like that's what a lot of people experience as they're getting older, is just more and more accumulation. And, you know, sitting here with you, like I can very clearly feel and see from you, and I'm sure our listeners can hear that that is not how, like, you are aging. You are aging much differently than that, because you are continuously emptying out and releasing and letting go of all of the things that came before, but you're distilling those experiences into the blessings that you're carrying with you, right? And I think that that would be, you know, what I just described of all the foibles, all the troubles, and then letting go of the burden and the weight of that, and instead bringing into ourselves like the essence of those things. That is really kind of the silver coin or the silver feather of wisdom, right? Of what's possible for people as they get older, instead of, you know, just more and more constriction and more discomfort and more tightening until they just decay, right? And so you're walking a very different path than a lot of people maybe in the same cohort as you, because you're really embodying this releasing, and then therefore able to have that capacity to continue to take life in, rather than being so full that there's no more, right? That we're totally full up and there's no more. In fact, you know, the more that I try to experience my life, the more I'm weighed down because I'm already carrying too much, right?
So beautiful. Yes. So one thing for me is like, I am willing to allow everything that I think I know to be no more, like to let everything be no more, meaning what weighs people down, especially in a rapidly changing world, is their belief systems, mm-hmm. their ideas of what God is, their ideas of, like, you know, who their family members are and who they are in relation to the whole. That all has to be annihilated sometimes in order to be refined. So it's a continual refining process. And if you know who you are as essence, as that sacred, beautiful aspect within that is precious and alive and vibrant, then it's okay to allow the annihilation to be, because you know you're going to rise. We're encoded to rise. We're seeds that are always sprouting and rising with new information and new ways of seeing the world. And it can be a lot if you're stuck and you're burdened and you're carrying a lot of things, and all your patterns every single day are always the same, you know, and you're not thinking or seeing anything in a new light. How can you be a sacred holy witness and allow life to evolve, consciousness to evolve, if you're stuck in this one place in linear time? And so I have to look at myself. I look at myself ongoingly, Amy, every day. What do I need to refine? Where am I stuck? What can I let go of? What's an old pattern? What, you know, I need to be a sacred witness for life so that it can evolve, and it can be evolving through a lens that's not tarnished, that's mm-hmm. not weighed down. So I'm constantly refining in that, and I'm changing all the time. I change all the time.
That's so
but I feel renewed at the same time, because I know who, as a essence, like I'm a beautiful, sacred, amazing witness to life, allowing life to move through me, allowing life. You know, I'm encoded with the ability to have pleasure and to create beauty and to witness beauty and to look at a person who feels fragmented and broken and see the wholeness within them, so that they can start seeing the wholeness within themselves. You know, I want to be able to be clear enough to be a channel that I can have high vision for being relevant and essential, no matter what age I am, for the times that we're living in, so that we have an opportunity to keep moving the energy and not getting stuck in any one place as a culture, you know, as a humanity, as a community, you know, but to keep it as a tribe, as a hive, as anything, but to keep it moving and flowing and thriving and sustainable. And so in order to be sustainable, we have to constantly be looking at, mm-hmm. at our own reflection, our own willingness to grow and thrive, you know, but people don't know how to start or scratch the surface on that necessarily. And that's where, you know, just giving a context for someone else to step into can be such an essential piece.
I got, you know, what I got in so much of what you just shared was what service you really are giving to the world through your own personal growth that you've been, you know, you've been on this path a long time, as you said at the beginning of this podcast episode, like basically since you were a child, like this has been, you know, your journey into where you are now, and that it's ongoing. And I really related to that, because sometimes as healers, as people who are doing sacred kinds of service in the world to other humans, we can get caught in this idea that we have to have it figured out, or that we have to be perfect. And, you know, to hear you just say, like, every day you're looking in the mirror, every day you're looking for where you're stuck, every day you're connecting with your humanness, and you're in this continuous process of reassessing and letting go and coming back to emptiness, as you've also said before a few times in this this interview. That's such a beautiful and powerful thing, because we don't have, like, there's no end point, right? It is right. Ongoing. And there's always going to be things that arise up and spaces within us that show up that we go, oh, whoa, hey, I forgot about this. Oh, that's a place where I'm still holding on to this thing that happened, or to this person, or to this idea. And like, how can I relax more into the mystery, into the wonder of not really knowing ultimately, you know, what this means or what that is or why I'm doing what I'm doing, et cetera.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, to me, sustainable is to continue to grow and thrive. And you can't grow and thrive if you're stuck in the same patterns and the same way of seeing the world, same way of seeing the humans around you. It's essential to direct, you know, the witness onto yourself and look at where you have an opportunity to make shifts and changes within your own thinking. Sometimes you don't have to do a thing except to change the way you perceive something. And yeah, then everything else just falls into place. And that's really refreshing. I'm big on not chasing, but attracting. And so I spend a lot of time, like, kind of on my own in stillness. And then the next thing I know, all these wonderful possibilities arise as coming to your podcast and being part of this experience. So, you know, being called into the greater world more and more by doing my inner work. Mm-hmm. And that gives me so much satisfaction and so much gratitude for life. And yeah, it feels really alive.
Yeah. So that perception and that shifting of perception that you just talked about, and how that can kind of like shift everything else. It reminds me of this quote. I believe that it's by Albert Einstein. It was like, nothing happens until something moves.
That's right.
Nothing happens until something moves. And in one of my somatic educator, like mentors, she really loves this quote, because we can physically see it in people on like a muscular level with the system that I teach. When somebody has, you know, all these contractions and all this pain going on in their body, and then we just do like one or two releases, like maybe I say I have them release their lower back or release their psoas, there's like a chain reaction response throughout their entire body, where now that pain in their neck is also gone, or they feel that they're not having pain there anymore. It's somewhere else. They've like connected that part of their body to some other part of their body, because there's been this chain reaction of things that shifted. And so you're talking about that on an energetic level, because I believe, you know, you can work with any, you know, perceptual sense that we have, you know, and achieve this kind of realization of the connection between things and get that level of release. But when that, you know, that stillness or that stuckness, and then something moves, it's like everything else moves with it.
Absolutely. It's amazing. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen people who have like energetic armoring around their heart, on the backside of their heart. It might look like, a raised area in the musculature, so moving that energy, releasing the heart armor, you know, would be huge for a lot of people to be able to know how to do for themselves. Yeah. And so even like what I was saying with the daily practices, one thing I love to do is just lay on my bed and feel and just allow the feeling to keep moving. And I used to feel stuck. I used to feel like I had a brick in my heart, actually. And I really, because I'm an energetic practitioner, you know, and I'm always studying energy just in my own way, in my own life, through my own body. I've been and changing my thoughts and perceptions and doing my own inner healing and coming, declaring myself complete with certain aspects of my healing. And when you declare yourself complete, then you have to step forward without the old programs and old patterns running the show, and just witness yourself as you're like maybe having the newness of stepping forward in that way, shedding the old skin. But that's how I released a lot of the heart armoring that I used to carry. And also just allowing, like if tears need to flow, allowing the energy of the tears that need to flow, just so you can like move the stuck emotions and the stuck energy and the stuck beliefs, and just keep it vital by keeping it moving.
Yes, I have experienced people with a lot of heart armoring, and you know, I myself had that for a long time too, and it shows up physically in our posture. And then there's the opposite, actually, which I've also experienced, which is like the overgiving, which is kind of the shadow of the other side of like the armor, the protected heart is like the overgiving heart, the heart that is doesn't have any appropriate boundaries and is sort of like draining, you know, like the person of energy by giving too much. And it's not actually like appropriate, if you know what I mean. So yeah, there's both those patterns that I've seen show up in people, that when we release on a physical muscular level the pattern, their perception of themselves also starts to shift. I've seen people, you know, become more open and start sharing more, you know, immediately after a session. Or I've seen someone actually kind of like comfortably withdraw, where maybe before the session they were like oversharing or like really had just so much they had to say, right? And now there's actually kind of a drawing back in, like a containment of themselves that they're experiencing, where they feel more like, I don't know, comfortable. I mean, both people probably feel more comfortable in their bodies and in who they are, but that's kind of coming back to this balance again between like action and inaction, you know, between expression and like stillness, and finding that balance where we're able to do both and we're not stuck in one or the other.
Absolutely. Yeah. Finding that balance. Even just making sound is moving energy.
Yeah.
Giving sound to an area in the body that feels like it's challenged, being challenged.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I mean, I've really enjoyed this talk. I feel like we've kind of like traveled down these just flowing roads of different ideas and concepts, and we've kind of all brought it back together into like what we're experiencing in our bodies and how we can kind of find and rebalance our bodies on a daily basis. You've mentioned a few different practices, but I mean, if our clients are interested, or not our clients, if our listeners are interested in becoming a client of yours or learning more about the work that you do or connecting with you, what are some ways that they could, you know, connect with you and learn more about your work?
You mean, how do they find me?
How do they find you? Yep. Or if you have any particular kinds of offerings or things that you're sharing into the world right now?
Yeah, I do mentorships, you know, professional and personal mentorships. I work one-on-one with clients or groups of people who might want to learn certain things. So I have those kinds of things available. It's kind of usually tailored to every individual need. Well, it definitely is. And I have a background in clinical hypnotherapy. I've been a Reiki master, and now I feel like I'm working often in the quantum field. So I do a lot of remote energy healing. So people who are in different parts of the world, if we can coordinate time zones, people can work with me via a Zoom experience where we do more of the cognitive portion of the session, and then I invite them, or we set another appointment for the energetic part of it, You know, we're working to release and move that energy that we're talking about, release any, basically remote energy healing is about resetting the central nervous system, bringing everything back into a sense of balance, releasing all the stresses off of a person so that they can find their balance. All healing for me is self-healing. So I'm just a facilitator for persons coming into a more of a knowing within themselves of how to become their own healer. I love to teach practices and tools for that, and to reflect another person, to acknowledge them. People need to be witnessed. They need to be heard. So to, for, I love to be that empty presence so I can witness someone, because when someone's really genuinely being witnessed as they're speaking, then they can actually pick up a lot of their own gems that they're looking for, maybe outside of themselves. They have them already inside of themselves, and so those get to come out. And I can be reached. I don't have a website. I've always worked on referral basis. I don't have a website yet, but I've been doing this for years. And so, you know, if any of your listeners want to reach me, maybe you could give them my email or
I can put it in the show notes that you could, would you like them to contact me for your contact info if they're interested, or would you want to put like something out there? Even just you could tell them to find you on Facebook under your name or something like that. It's every
you
guest.
You can find me on Facebook from Cynthia in Cynthia Sophia on Facebook. If you want to put it in the show notes, my email address, that's wonderful. I live in Baja. So, I might not be able to see everyone on a one-on-one basis in person, but definitely we can arrange some sort of a Zoom experience and then do energetic work.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, if you do get a chance, or if this is something that you've been interested in for a while, all of this, you know, feminine rising, reconnecting and integrating yourself, Cynthia Sophia, I, you know, known her for a really long time. I would love personally to have a session with you. That sounds wonderful. But any of my listeners, I highly recommend her services. She's truly living in this really beautiful way that you got to experience some of today, just the way that she holds space and presence. It's been an absolute joy to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show to share about these very mystical and mystical and esoteric ideas and make them a little bit more like understandable, make them a little bit more everyday in our consciousness and not just these grand notions, right? Make them more, a little more
absolutely
like
practical wisdom, something that you can embody and live from.
Absolutely.
Make them more true to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'd love to see you on the show again sometime, sharing more. Maybe we'll come up with another, you know, few ideas that we're really interested to jam on like we did today.
Thank you, Amy. It's been an absolute joy. And I really cherish the work and a witness and acknowledge the work that you're doing in the world is really phenomenal. And it's really been a joy to share about all of this with you today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Amy Takaya, and I have an exciting announcement. At the end of September, I will be hosting my first full-length retreat. Somatic Awakening will take place in the San Gabriel Mountains. This three-day transformational experience will include Hana Somatic Movement, hands-on somatic bodywork by my father, William Davis, my cousin, Seiji Oshenza, and myself. We will also explore somatic yoga and mudra practice, as well as an end-of-the-day sound healing to deepen your calm and release. Only 9 spaces are available for full-time participants. Day passes will be available for the Saturday activities. Right now, you can get $200 off the full price of the retreat. So, if you're feeling called into freedom and ease of movement, a peaceful, relaxed nervous system, delicious plant-based meals, and a fresh and enlivened way of being, go to freeyoursoma.com and hold your space. Payment plans are available by request, and feel free to reach out to me with questions or comments at freeyoursoma@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening and supporting this self-healing revolution. You've been listening to the Free Your Soma podcast. Subscribe now to hear more stories of somatic awakening and gain knowledge and tools for somatic living. If you'd like to learn more about me, Amy Takaya, Hannah Somatic Education, or the Radiance Program, please visit www.freeyoursoma.com.